So we've got Adam Ziegenhagel in the house. If you don't already know Adam, which most of you seem to because he's a celebrity and he's perfect and super good looking. Adam was me last year, and so he was running the youth program, but he also runs a ridiculous amount of other things. He is the ultimate jack of all trades. It's who Nathaniel Johnson aspires to be as a Renaissance man, a true Renaissance man. He has great fashion, great hair, and loves you guys so much. And so he's just here to impart to us. It's very exciting. So why don't you welcome up Adam Ziegenhagel, everybody.
That's Northgate. Stop it. You guys are crazy. Did you know that, like, hardly any other church stands as much as you guys? I remember being here. My legs would get tired from standing up all the time, but it's a good thing. Please don't ever, ever stop that. It is a very special thing. Hey, I'm going to get set up. While I get set up, I just got to remember my password. While I get set up, I just want to speak to two things, if I could, here really quickly. One, you guys have a gem of a pastor in Pastor Evan. And I know he's not here this morning, but can we give him a cheer this morning? Come on. I absolutely love Pastor Evan. He has a heart of gold. I've known him for, I don't know, a few years now. And just an amazing, amazing man of God. And when I found out he was coming here, I was like, Northgate is in good hands. It is just an incredible thing. Side note, did you guys notice that you had our little reno over here? Did you notice that? I just noticed it. And so it's there. I'm going to go explore that later. Yeah, that happened. And the second thing that I want to just quickly shout out before I jump into this morning's message is that usually I'm not really given a time limit. So I just kind of spew all of my thoughts and stuff like that. And I have time to be funny and stuff. And this morning I don't have that much time. And so can you help me in something? I'm going to kind of shed a little bit of light on what I actually do when I preach. This is a secret. Don't tell anybody so that they don't know what I'm doing next time. But what I do is I try and be funny at the beginning. So one, it makes me not as much nervous. I just am like, yeah, okay, I'm good. And then two, so that you guys, the people listening to me, are able to be like, okay, this is good. We can do this. Okay. So can we do something this morning? I don't have a whole lot of time. Just work with me on this a little bit. We're just going on the count of three. We're just gonna laugh hysterically, like as if I said something super funny, and then we'll move on from there. We'll both have what we need, and we're good to go. Okay. Can we do that? One, two, three. Oh man. Oh, man. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's rich. Oh, Adam, you're so good. Okay. All right. So now we've got that out of the way. We're all disarmed. We're all ready to go. So let's just begin. Let's just jump right into it. Let's begin. If you are taking notes this morning, in which I encourage you to do, take out your notebook, take out your pen, and write down on the top of it, the title of the message this morning is Leave the Best Behind. Leave the best behind. It's a little weird, right? Leave the best behind. We've always talked, and I know here especially, the phrase that we always use is, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and yet this morning I'm going to speak, and at the end I hope that we're all encouraged to leave the best behind. Open your Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs 13:22. Proverbs 13:22, it's a really short verse, we can handle it. This is what it says. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. To his children's children. But the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Let's pray this morning as we jump this off. Father God, you are so good. Thank you for such a warm and welcoming church. Thank you for Northgate. Thank you for your church here in the Comox Valley. And God, I'm just excited to see what you're doing here this morning. And what you have been doing this past year. And God, I just know that what is ahead of us is the best to come. I know that. I absolutely know that in you. You are so good, and there is always the best to come. But God, this morning, would you help us learn and help us to see that we need to leave the best behind us as well. leave the best behind us as well. And so, Father God, this morning, would it be you speaking? Where I fail, where I lack, you succeed and you are great. And so, Lord, we just pray that this morning we would hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love this church. I absolutely love this church. And when I say the church, I don't mean the building. I don't mean what's in the building, the facilities, the things, I don't mean that. I mean you. I mean the church, the people, you. I love you guys. Man, when I had the opportunity, Pastor Evan asked me, hey, would you be willing to speak? And I jumped on it. I said, absolutely, yes. I actually did it before thinking, which you know, right now we're in a season of just a lot of work and a lot of difficulty. And so I wish I might have thought about it a little bit more, but it's good because I absolutely love the opportunity that I have to speak here this morning. Do you guys still have the Xerox, Candy? Do you have the Xerox? That machine is the most dreadful machine ever on the planet Earth. Ever. I can't stand that Xerox machine, and I'm sorry if you're a Xerox salesman. I remember asking the Xerox salesman when he came in and asked us if we needed a new machine. I'm like, do you sell anything other than Xerox? And he didn't think that that was so funny. I thought it was hilarious. He didn't think it was funny at all. And so we had to keep going back and forth. And finally, we did get a better machine, but it was basically the next model up of the exact same thing, which still was the bane of my existence. I remember, like, it was just terrible. I remember printing posters. How many posters do we print here? Like, oh my goodness, so many posters. And so I remember printing posters. You'd print, and you'd want to print high quality, like the best image possible. So you'd print it from Photoshop. That's a software program if you don't know what that is. But you'd print from Photoshop. And from Photoshop, the file is massive. And so it would take, like, you know, 300 years or so till it got from your computer to the Xerox machine. And then it would come out. But it would look pretty good. It would never be centered in the page, but it would look pretty good, right? You'd be like, wow, this is great. And you're like, but I don't think I can endure another 300 years for another one to come out. And so you're like, I'm just going to photocopy it. You'd photocopy it. And that, no, I see the front row. They're like, don't do that. You just don't. That's in the handbook of Northgate, I think. No photocopies. Not at all. Because what would happen is the quality would degrade. The image quality would just degrade. In fact, have you ever done this? If not, I encourage you to, just because it's fun. But take a photocopy of a copy, okay? And then take a photocopy of that photocopy and a photocopy of that photocopy and just continue to do that. And pretty soon you'll realize that over time, the image just becomes to the point where it's unrecognizable. It's gone. What was is completely gone. It's kind of like the telephone game. Do you guys know the telephone game? The telephone game is a remarkable game. You just sit around in a circle after church today and play the telephone game. It's fun. So you start off, somebody whispers a phrase in somebody's ear, like it could be anything, something about, you know, purple unicorns or whatever. Like you whisper it, you start it out like that, and then it'll go around the circle. And each person whispers into the next person's ear. And at the end, you end up with some kind of elephant in Kazakhstan or something like that. It's just crazy. Like, it's like what was is no longer. What began in the circle, what began with this whisper in an ear, at the end is nothing recognizable, nothing anywhere close to where it started from. And I think there's always that one person in the middle that just messes it up for fun. But it's still, the whole point of it is it's just gone. Unrecognizable. That's the telephone game. What was is no longer. See, this is what's happening with us in every generation today. We're losing quality. We're losing faith. We're losing the power of the gospel in us. We might be one generation away from losing it all. In fact, did you know that in Canada now, in this day and age, we are seeing the first generation of students that have never heard of the name Jesus Christ before. We're actually seeing that. One of my friends that runs Youth Alpha, you know Jason Ballard, he's a good friend of the church, and he's noticing this as we're seeing testimonies from students that are coming to Jesus, thank God, but they're coming to Jesus and their testimony would be like, I've never heard of Jesus before. Some of us can't even fathom what that would be like to have never heard of the name Jesus before. In fact, some of you are like, now, you're kidding me. At the very least, they'd hear it in a swear word or something like that, right? It's like, no, that swear word, if you've ever listened recently, in a younger generation, it doesn't exist because it has no meaning. It holds no value. The name of Jesus is disappearing in a new generation, in the next generation. And we need to do something about it. That's what I'm here to talk about this morning. And I know that, I think last week, it was mentioned that I have a new position in Foursquare. It's a long name. It's really confusing. I am the National Youth Leadership Coordinator of Foursquare Canada, which is awesome. Yeah, thank you. It's awesome. I'm super excited for the opportunity. And what I get to do is just help every church in Foursquare Canada just think about the next generation. And that's what I'm here to do this morning. I want us to just think. I want us, our minds, our hearts, to just be provoked. I want us to just be, just to hear and be encouraged, just even slightly to think and to have a mindset that thinks about the next generation. I think if we were to do a word count and look at what words I've used the most in this message today, it will be the next generation. The next generation. That's what it's all about for me, and that's what it, I think, needs to be about for all of us. Man, we cannot see another generation, or we can't even see this generation that is here with us right now. We cannot see them at a point where they don't know who Jesus is. It just can't happen. It just can't happen. This morning, I pray that when we walk out of these doors, we will be changed. And I pray that we will have a heart for the next generation. I pray that we will be encouraged to no longer see them losing quality in faith, but we will see them gaining in quality. We will see that quality just getting larger and larger and larger and better and better and better. See, I don't think that this next generation is a lost cause. I see all of these stats and I see actually what's out there. And to me, that doesn't faze me. To me, that doesn't make me think, oh, we're in the soup. Like, we are in so much trouble. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. It doesn't bring fear to me at all. It doesn't do anything but excite me because there's opportunity. See, the next generation may be where they're at, but I see the potential in them. I see where they could be. And to me, the next generation is going to take the gospel further than we ever have. They are going to see bigger and better things than we ever have if we just engage in a lifestyle that pours into them. Amen? This morning, I want to encourage you to leave the best behind. Leave an inheritance, as we read. See, an inheritance is more than just money. I remember reading at my grandma's funeral that very passage. It was really sad and really hard to get through. But my grandma left an inheritance, and I didn't see any money. My grandpa is still thriving and doing awesome. And I don't, like, money means nothing to me compared to what she left me. She left a rich heritage, a huge inheritance in me, in just being a person who loves Jesus. I got to see that every day in her. We need to leave an inheritance behind in the lives of the next generation. We need to see a generation awakened. The way I see it, the next generation needs three things from us. And there's probably more, and maybe you don't agree with me on one of them. Hold tight, listen up, see what we can do. If you're taking notes, three things. I'm not going to sneak attack you at the end and whatever or anything like that. No preacher sneak attack. All I'm going to do is give you three things. Three things to just focus on in our lives. And through those three things, I see that we'll start to see a shift in culture. We'll start to see a shift, and this next generation could be one. This next generation could be set on course to be the world changers I believe them to be. To start, the next generation needs you, needs us, needs all of us to be authentic. Authenticity. Ah, yes. It's a big word. It's a crazy word. We have to stop being these people that put on these false fronts of the perfect little Christians. I remember growing up and going to church, and I remember we lived like three blocks from church, and so we would walk, and the whole way we on our way, we would just be fighting. Like, I had two siblings, a younger sister and an older brother, and we were just at it. Every single morning, we would just be, every single Sunday morning, I don't know what it was, every single Sunday morning, we'd just be at each other. And I remember walking up to the front doors of the church and my mom turning around and going, "Shit!" And we'd be like, and we'd walk into church, this perfect little family, this who were perfect little children, and we had this perfect family image. And some of you are giggling because you're like, "Yeah, we totally remember doing that too." And you're like, "That was us this morning." But, you know, we have to stop putting on this act. That's what we do, right? When we're around other Christians, we're like, "Man, we got to be like all that. We got to like put on this, you know, this holiness, cloak of holiness. And we got to be like, yo, brother." You'd be like, you know, we say things like, "I'll be praying for you, brother." And then we never actually do. And like we have these things that we do that we put on this false front, this image of perfection, of holiness. And we think that we're doing it right, but really we're wrong. We're so, so wrong when it comes to this false front, this false image. See, what we're actually doing, what we're actually saying to the next generation when we do this, we're saying that the Christian life is impossible. The Christian life, you should experience no faults, no failures. You should experience no wavering in your faith, no question, no doubt, no nothing. It should be perfect. And when they do, they have a crisis of faith, and then a problem happens. They're like, "I can't do this. This isn't for me." And they run. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. It's an interesting little thing. It's about false prophets. I'm not going to call you a false prophet this morning. That's not what I'm doing. But this is what it says. It says, I'll just read from the screen. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Big one here. "Thus you will recognize them by their fruit." It doesn't matter what image you want to put on. It doesn't matter what you think you look like on the outside, you will be seen for who you are. It just happens. You will be seen. The whole idea that we can put on this false front, that we can seem perfect, that we can have this, it doesn't exist. The only people that we are fooling in this is ourselves. The fruit that we bear will really show who we are and where we're at in our walks with Jesus anyways. I would rather be the person that I am and show the next generation the power of God's grace than show them an unattainable relationship with Him. I'm imperfect, and I hope that the students that I had when I was here saw that. In fact, I know a lot of them did and were like, "Oh, thank goodness, because if He can do this, we can definitely do this." And so that's what it's about. We need to show them the reality, the authentic relationship that we have with Jesus. Write this down if you're taking notes. The next generation doesn't need the person you are trying to be. The next generation doesn't need the person you're trying to be. And if they needed that person, God would have sent them. You know what I mean? God is good. He knows. God sent you. No matter where you're at in life right now, no matter what you're doing, He sent you to be an impact, to speak into the lives of the next generation. He doesn't need, or the next generation doesn't need who you think they need, who this false image, this perfect person that you portray to be. They don't need that. They need you to show them what it is like to be a Christian with all of your imperfections, with all of your failures, with all of your stumbling and grappling at whatever's next and just saying, "Jesus, I need your help." That's what the next generation needs. An authentic person in relationship with Him. The perfect life, the perfect Christian life, it doesn't exist. The perfect Christian life is when we grab hold of our imperfections and say, God, you are bigger. God, you are stronger. And through your grace, I'm going to pull through. I'm going to do this. And with you, nothing is impossible. That's the perfect Christian life. Can I just set that straight? The next thing, number two, the next thing that the next generation needs is authority. Oh, is authority. This to me is a pretty big one. See, the next generation, if the next generation is lost, it won't be because of lack of friends. It'll be because of lack of leaders. Ouch. See, like, we can easily talk about parenting right now and how there's like this new wave of friendship parenting, which doesn't work. It doesn't, you know, speak to anybody in youth ministry or children's ministry. It doesn't work. God didn't call you to be a parent and to befriend them. There's going to be some tough moments where you're going to need to speak actual truth in life into your children, and they're not going to like it, and they're probably going to get angry with you and get frustrated. But that's what you're there for. And beyond parenting, you know, we see this in youth ministry all the time. Matt's probably experienced this too. We would have adult leaders come in, and their first couple weeks there is just like super intimidating. It's like super intimidating. They're like, it's teenagers. I got to be cool. I got to like dress a certain way. I got to do my hair a certain way. It's like super scary. If you've ever stepped foot into a youth ministry, that's what you will experience. Your heart will start just beating out of your chest. You're like, I don't know if I can do this. I think they're going to hate me. Like, and you'll find yourself trying to tame their like approval and stuff. It's so funny. And we see these new leaders coming around them and just trying to play the buddy-buddy role. And it just doesn't work. Because then when they actually need somebody to speak authoritatively into their lives, they can't hear from that person any longer. They just see them as a buddy. The next generation needs authority. They need leaders. As a leader comes into a young person's life and is able to speak into it, man, everything changes. Everything changes. I know it's not as much fun sometimes, but man, the end result is so incredible. So incredible. The next generation needs authority in their lives. They're missing it every single place that they go. See, I believe that this next generation has more potential than any other generation in history. I might get in trouble for saying that. That's what I believe. They have more tools. Information is more readily available. They have the ability to grow faster. They have the ability to go further and do more than we ever have. The problem is that we see these young people, we see this next generation, and we even see their potential. And we think, you know what? They'll be good on their own. They'll end up in the places that they need to be. And that's not the truth. They need leaders. Leaders that will speak life into them. One of the biggest problems that I ever faced in youth ministry, Matt is facing it. Every youth pastor in Canada, North America is facing this issue, is students do not know who they are. They cannot see it. They cannot see their potential. They are world changers, the difference makers. It is them that we will see a new revival in Jesus. It is them, and they can't see it. We need to help them. Their potential cannot be seen on their own. We need to help them see it and see it realized in their lives. It doesn't work without people coming alongside them. Turn to your Bibles to Proverbs 22. We're going to read just one verse, verse 6. I love this verse. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. when we take time to be leaders, when we take time to pour into the next generation, it is ingrained in their DNA. You may not see it, because it's DNA, it's stuffed down inside of you, but it will come out. I remember reading that very verse to my parents on their 25th wedding anniversary and said, it was because of you that I am where I am. See, if you knew me when I was a teenager, well, you wouldn't let me be here right now if you saw me as a teenager, let me tell you. I wasn't very good, and my parents were parents and stuck with it. And it's because of them that I am where I am today. And they simply took hold of train a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't matter what fruit you're seeing in your teenager right now. What you pour in will come out. It's a biblical promise. You can hold on to that. You can be grabbing hold of that. You're right now maybe thinking, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can believe that right now. From what I'm seeing, I don't know. Can I just set you a money back guarantee, and you didn't give me any money, so I'm not giving you any back. But if you train your child in the way he should go, he will not depart from it. It's a promise. How about the Great Commission? The Great Commission, you know that one. Everybody knows that one. We won't turn to it this morning. Go, therefore, and make disciples. See, we often hear the go part, and we're like, yeah, let's go to, you know, Costa Rica or somewhere warm. You know, we hear the go, and it's easy. But we forget about the make disciples part. The make disciples part is the most important part. Teach them. See, some of you are already discounting yourself. You're like, I can't disciple somebody. I don't know enough. Can I just set something up here a little bit? Discipling is really just teaching people what you know. That's it. It's really just teaching people what you know. And all of you in this room right here, right now, have something to teach the next generation. All of you. You've all walked through some kind of trial. You've all seen God's faithfulness in a small or significant way. You have all had some kind of experience that you'd be able to. Even if you became a Christian last Sunday, you have something to offer the next generation today. All of us do. I got to move on a little quicker here. So the next thing that I see in the next generation that they need from us is opportunity. That's the third thing. And you're thinking, you messed up your alliteration. You had two A's going. You could have laid down another A. I couldn't think of one. Lay off. The last one is opportunity. Opportunity is big. See, we see so much potential, and then we don't give them opportunity. See, to me, Paul was the perfect picture of this. He empowered and gave opportunity to his young disciples, Timothy, Titus, to name a couple. I'm not saying give people opportunity, give them power, give them control, and then just walk away, get out of there, you need to move on. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what Paul did either. You know what I mean? That's not what he did. You know, we would talk about, you know, how he, oh my goodness, 1 Timothy 4:12, yes. Help me out. 1 Timothy 4:12. Help me out. What? No. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. Yes. This is what Paul did. He like stood beside, even though he wasn't there physically in that space with them. He said, you know what? I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to help raise you up. I've given you opportunity, but I'm not leaving you. I'm not just tossing you to the side and saying, figure it out. No, he's going to come along beside them. This is what he does. This is what we need to do too. But we have to give them opportunity, and this is going to be weird. But in the shower this morning, weird, I know, sorry. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, man, like, that isn't just for people who are in ministry positions. This is everybody. Because God has called, there are some people in here that are business people. There are some people in here that are immersed in culture. And oh, it is so important that you are where you are. Because the world is where you are. If we're going to reach the world, we need people where they are. You know what I mean? And so when we come together, this is great and stuff like that. But it's not just left up to pastors, preachers, and teachers and people like that to train up the next generation. It's you too. There are going to be more business people that need to be raised up. And if you're thinking, no, 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 my business life is one thing and my faith life is another thing, you're wrong. The next generation needs to see faith in action in every aspect of life. Everywhere that they go, everywhere that they see, they need to see faith in action. And so give them opportunity. We need to stop thinking that the next generation is not ready to be put into action. They will never be ready if they're not given opportunity to grow. They're never going to be ready. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we close this morning. And as we close, I just want to kind of rehash what we've talked about this morning. There's three things: authenticity, authority, and opportunity. You know, if we come to a Sunday and we hear a message, we worship together, and we walk out of the doors and nothing changes in life, we will have completely have missed it. You know what I mean? It's all for nothing. Because this is the moment, as we do church together, this is when we get spurred on in our faith. This is when we have a little bit of passion stirred within us. And when we walk out into the world around us, that's when things start to happen. That's when change begins to happen through you. And so what do we do? What's going to be different? Well, leading an authentic life. Bring your faith to your workplace. Bring your faith into your home and allow your children to see you living out a life that just blesses the Lord. Through your trials, through your circumstances, you may be walking through something really difficult, and I'll let you know I am right now. It's been hard the last little while. Things aren't peachy, and they're not always going to be peachy. They're not always going to be the best. The best is yet to come. Authority. Don't give up on students. Don't give up on the next generation and say, they'll figure it out. I just want to be their friend. They're just such good kids. They are. But they'll never reach their potential if we don't lead them to it. It just won't happen. And they'll never go anywhere if we don't give them opportunity. We need to give them opportunity. You know, the next generation is anybody younger than you. And so no matter where you're at, in what phase of life you're at right now, there's always a next generation. The flip side of it is that one day you'll be at the top and there won't be anybody beyond you that way. But there will always be a next generation. Always. So no matter where you're at right now, you may be a student sitting right over here to my right. And you're thinking, oh, this is about me. They should pour into me. Someone will, but you need to pour out. The next generation. The next generation. The next generation. Close your eyes with me if you could. I love doing this at the end of when I speak. Let's just take a moment to imagine. Imagine with me if you could. Imagine what it could look like if today we said, you know what? The next generation is now the top of my priority. No matter what, I need to make sure that I am living an authentic life that just shows the next generation what it looks like to serve Jesus. I'm no longer going to put on this false front. I'm no longer going to say this is what it needs to be like, and it's just going to give them a picture of an unattainable relationship with God. I'm going to say this is what it's like. Here, walk through me with this trial so you can see what it's like when my faith is shaken and I'm like, oh man, God, I need you more than ever before. I need you right now. Show the next generation that. Or how about when you have an opportunity to speak into the life of a young person? You take that opportunity. You don't say, they'll figure it out on their own. What would it look like? You said, you know what? No, I know. I see how much potential you have. And without me stepping in, without me leading, you're never going to reach it. I need to help you. What would it look like? And what would it look like? What would church look like? What would our workplaces look like if we said, you know what? The next new up-and-comer, I'm going to give them opportunity. I'm going to walk alongside them, but I'm going to give them opportunity. What would it look like? Church, come on this morning. We need to get excited about this. We need to get excited about the next generation. What would it look like? I can tell you this. If you have a child that's not saved, why wouldn't they be saved? If we could live out an authentic life that says, you know what, not all the time things are perfect, but God is so good that He steps in and intervenes in my situation. Why wouldn't they want that? I can tell you they wouldn't want something where they have to be held to this high standard where it's impossible and all of a sudden when they fail it's all useless. They won't buy into that. That's not the gospel. What would it look like? The next generation saved. I can tell you it'd be a little bit hard. Because if they reach their full potential, they're going to go way further than we ever did. And we might get a little bit jealous. We might come to the place where we're like, whoa, hold on. That's not how we do church. That's not how we do business like that. But you know what? God's given them more. And with more, and our leading, why wouldn't they go further? Why wouldn't they do more? They should. In fact, if they're not, we failed. What would it look like? Next generation of saved students, saved children. Maybe prayers would come back into school. Maybe there wouldn't be such a confusion in identity, in sexual identity. What would it look like? This morning I want us to commit to a life that says, I'm fed up. This next generation cannot be lost. This next generation cannot go the road that they're headed down. It can't happen. Not on my watch. We need to come to a place where we say, I'm in. I'm all in. And yes, the best is in front of us, but I'm going to leave my best behind. Let me pray for you this morning. Father God, we just thank you so much. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the next generation. And God, we're not perfect. We're going to stumble. We're going to get some things wrong. We're going to get confused and we're going to make some wrong decisions. And God, I just pray that the next generation would see opportunity, would see us stepping up and leading, and would see us just being real, living lives in front of them, being real. So God, would you just move in our hearts right now? Stir our hearts, God. Stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Start to rip down walls, rip apart whatever preconceived notions, ideas that we may have. God, tear them down. Give us a heart for the next generation. Give us a heart to see your kingdom being advanced in and through our lives and into the next generation. God, give us a heart to leave our best behind. Amen.